The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
So, yeah, we were wrapping up our conversation about the 85 Bears. It's glorious. That team was everything. I'll never forget it. At 49, I was 14. I waited in line forever to get my Super Bowl championship T-shirt at Marshall Fields in Skokie. It was before the day where there was a sports corner on every, you know, on every street corner selling corner. These things.
Yeah, it was Marshall's Fields in that day, wasn't it? You put the
Marshall Fields.
Both, Marshall Fields.
Still is Marshall's Fields.
Marshall's Fields. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
You know what I'm saying? You got to put the S in there.
Yeah, right.
Go down to the Jewels after the Marshall's Fields.
You know it. You know it. Celebrated by getting my commemorative Wheaties box with Fridge or Walter. And that was the other thing, too. I have a great relationship with Jarrett Payton. Fantastic.
Awesome dude.
I love that guy. I love him. And he is such a great, his dad would be so proud of him, what he's done to carve out his own path on WGN. And he used to come into the radio station years ago, Connor, when Carmen and I were doing shows, and he knew he wanted to do this, and he's fresh off a career at the U, or he was even on a break from the U, and he'd come in and want to talk on the air with us or go in to the producer's booth with Ernie Scanton and cut up some liners or do some stuff. And like out of the eight, one of the worst storylines in Chicago history had to do with that Super Bowl. And I hated that there was a debate whether or not Walter Payton scored. You're too young. And I don't know how well you know the story. Like, there were, in some of the documentaries, there was a report that Walter Payton was in the broom closet in New Orleans after the game because he did not want to talk to the media.
Right.
They won 46-10. He's the GOAT at the time. He's the greatest running back ever, one of the greatest football players ever. He's all we had for so many years, and he had a great 85 season, but Ditka didn't give him the ball. Now, would I have loved Walter Payton to score? The answer is yes. But what do we always say about the individual not being bigger than the team? And to let that ruin your day that you didn't get in the end zone and that Fridge did. Like, I always felt that was such a dumb thing to worry about when you finally cashed in and won a Super Bowl. And it's another part of the 85 Bears that I sort of dislike to this day, that
sure.
whole debate.
It's a conversation that's not going away either. I know, you know, my old man was a Bears fan, and we had the Super Bowl on VHS growing up. You know, I'm 35, so I'm, 6 months old when they win the Super Bowl on this day in 86. So snow days, we'd watch sit down and we'd watch the Super Bowl, or at least as much of it as we could until we was like, oh, stop it. Like, they're terrible. Stop killing the Patriots.
Stop doing it. Literally this. Killing
like,
the Patriots.
I'm little, so I'm like, why is they keep on doing this? They keep on hitting them in the head. But My dad would talk about this as like, you know, leading up to, and I don't know if it was this way for you. I think my dad's 65, something like that. And for him leading up to that, the Super Bowl was going to be, at least in part, this not validation of Walter Payton, because he didn't need that, but just like, you know, the jewel on the crown, kind of.
Right.
And to have that jewel be something other than bright and shiny and perfect is, I think, troubling for a lot of fans who watched that and were really cognizant of the game.
It just bothers me always that Walter cared that much about scoring. It's like the six-year-old who needed to be in the end zone. You are the greatest in franchise history. This is the years of losing when your offensive line sucked and you had no quarterback and you were it. And here we are at 15-1 and dominance in the postseason against the Giants and the Rams, and then this 46-10 trouncing. Did you really need to score? And, like, I hate that. I always dislike that. And it was Miguel Montero, who was a big hero for the Cubs, called us the day of the parade and bitched about Madden not playing him enough. And I, like, normally I would love a juicy story like that, but I'm sure. A Cubs fan, and I was telling Miggy, I'm like, Miggy, but you had the grand slam against the Dodgers. You had the big hit in the 10th. Oh, yeah, that Joe Madden, though. And it's like, well, why? You know, come on. Like, why did you have it? I feel so dirty about that topic and that it got so much play and that Ditka forever, like, was shamed about that.
First of all, that's... he can handle a little shame. Like, I think he's, I think the shoulders are broad enough. I think the history's long enough. The guy can handle just a little bit of shame when it comes to that season and then the one after and then the one after that and then the one after that, right?
Yeah.
There's blame to go around there. There's shame to be had. But in order to get to that level, in order to be that guy, yes, there's God-given talent. You know, there's natural ability just, you know, oozing out of his nose. But there's also this a work ethic. There's this craziness that has to exist in a top-tier athlete, whether it's Miguel Montero or all the way up to the upper echelon that Walter Payton was at. And that's not a sword that gets put away easy. You know, it's hard to take that edge and do anything but use it and or put it away.
Right.
That's hard to do, I think.
Right. No, it's a good point. Would I have wanted him to score? Yes. But did I care after he didn't? And have I held on to this for 35 years like others? I haven't. Greg Braggs is on 312-332-3776.
Full experience today.
Yeah, you are. You're getting all of our favorites. Braggs, say hi to Connor McKnight.
How you doing, Connor? Congratulations, what? Man.
Thanks, man.
I heard you got the Mitchell and Displains experience, so I figured I'd have to give you the other end of it just so you can get some balance in the world. And so you guys are talking about the 85 Bears. I'm 35 as well. And I think when we were kids, the 85 Bears was still cool because it was still slightly relevant. They were still doing the SNL skits. Michael Jordan, you know, was doing the SNL skits. So it was still something that was relevant. But as time has passed, obviously, it's just not good anymore. It's watered down. And, personally, I'm sick of hearing about the 85 Bears. And so, you know, I think the Cubs will have the same thing happen to them if they don't figure it out in the same time frame. And so, you know, and then the other thing you guys are talking about, as far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, you know, they have to be all in on this guy. I hope they are. And I heard, you know, they say that maybe it might be two firsts and a franchise-type player to go along with that. The Bears better be offering three firsts. And I don't care what anybody says to that. If you're going to draft a quarterback anyway in the first round, well, that's one of your first-rounders, so
right.
Who cares?
Of course.
Deshaun Watson is already a known commodity, and he's not just like Jay Cutler when we traded for him. I think he's an upper echelon from what Jay Cutler was. Jay Cutler was a Pro Bowler, but this guy is like potentially top five, potentially a Hall of Fame-type player. I don't know if anybody thought Jay Cutler was on that trajectory when we traded for him. So Brian Pace better be all in on him. I know I am. You know, Sylvie, your guy Dom, you know, the Cubs guy, he's all in on it. He's helping with the siege. We need you, Sylvie, to help on this full court press, because I do think that there is a little bit of Twitter flex we can put his way.
Doesn't care about me tweeting him. That's not going to help.
Why is he following the weathermen then? Why is he messing with Bears Twitter when, you know, the Bears Twitter people found his tweets where he said he liked Chicago weather and then all of a sudden...
Braggs, you got to double check to see if he's really following them or if that was Photoshop.
Yes, he really was. That's why the weatherman started tweeting it. This happened before when we got Brandon Marshall, and they, you know, Jay and Brandon were starting to flirt on Twitter. And then 2 months later, we traded 2 third-round picks for Brandon. It can happen. So you got to stay positive. This is the best direction for Matt and Brian. I would have personally cleaned house. But if I'm a solution
Braggs.
Guy. I'm not a problem guy. I want Deshaun here. That's a solution.
But tell the world and tell Connor what you do to your lawn in the middle of a snowstorm.
Listen, the snow beat me today. Me and Addie were playing in the snow, so I didn't have time. But, yes, Connor, I'll shovel my grass. And now bear with me. This might sound crazy. But I did it to start out with my dog, and I'm kind of a perfectionist, so I just started clearing more and more, and then people would think it was funny, so then it made me want to do more. So now it's kind of like something I have to live up to. Everybody wants me to shovel my lawn every time. So, yes, Connor. I'm the guy. If I'm not already making a great impression on you, Connor, I shovel my lawn. Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
You shovel your lawn.
Listen. So it started with my dog, because my dog doesn't like to walk in the snow.
Don't you? Aren't you worried about? Aren't you worried about, like? Do you shovel it till you see grass, or do you shovel it just like the top?
Aren't you worried about bringing up some of the lawn?
Like he's got a plan for this.
Like he knows how
this is supposed to be done.
Yeah. Oh, there's a process to this. First, you clean off your cars. You know, make sure you get that off. Then you push it from driveway left to right. You push it all the way off the grass side.
What kind of a bougie-ass dog do you have?
Listen.
I mean, listen, come on. Right. I didn't know I was coming on here to explain this.
Don't knock it until you try it. It's very therapeutic.
That's true, Abdallah.
When it gets sunny out, then it's all gone and melted. Sometimes I'll bring out, like last year I took a picture. I had like a beachfront towel and chair, and Addy was out there with the umbrella, and we were grilling out. And people love it. And then they come and bring their dogs, because when it gets real high and there's like a bunch of feet of snow, then people will bring their dogs over to my yard to use the bathroom because they can't because the snow's so high.
Well, nothing like having like dozens like of dogs years. Roaming around your yard in the middle of winter.
I'm sure your dog loves the scent of other dogs.
I've got a use for it. Good Lord, man. I love him.
Maybe if the Bears would actually do something, I'd find better use of my time. But I'm telling you, it's good therapy. Don't knock it until you try it. You guys have a good one.
Our buddy Greg Bragg. I don't know if you know this. He's been the groundskeeper for Soldier Field. It's why the lawn is so bad at Soldier.
He's been shoveling it.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Bragg's is also the kind of guy who has to lace his shoelaces a very specific way. Otherwise, the goblins come out and attack him. You know, I feel like he's maybe got, you know, he's got a special way that you have to Windex the mirrors in the house. Otherwise, something horrible happens.
When I saw that on Twitter, I couldn't believe it. They're like shoveling the grass.
He's the guy we should have sent over to Hood's place.
Oh, yeah, to shovel for him. He would happily do it.
Oh, God. We should have hooked that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hoodie, do not shovel. We need you, okay? You're not fit for the shoveling of the snow these days.
Listen,
all right?
Man, I swept my steps today and almost had a
it's tough.
Something?
Almost met the maker. Yeah. Listen, the side, because I was only sweeping with one side, I was like, oh, this snow's heavy. I got to switch the other side, even these out.
That's the best part about, like, yard work. It really is. Because you get to that, like, mid-30s age where you're not going to the gym anymore and you don't have people to impress, but you'll get out there and shovel snow or rake leaves or something. The moment where you say to yourself, I got to switch sides to even this out.
Oh, listen, that's when you are truly lost.
Switch sides?
Look,
are you kidding me?
I wake up washed, so I'm not even worried about being washed.
You woke up lucky.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not even shoveling. I'm sweeping. I'm just getting the back steps.
You're sweeping snow.
Well, because I don't shovel.
I got to switch sides, Sylvie.
I got to sweep the back steps, and that's it.
This right lat is going to be all out of whack. I'm going to go to the beach. And it's going to be this right is going to be big and the left lat is going to be small.
It's crazy.
I've talked to any of the honeys.
Him and I were in the workout room before Game 7 of the World Series, and I got a treat of the Abdallah workout that day. He was in and out in like 12 minutes.
I was wild hungover though. So I ran three miles and I was like, that's it. I can't do anymore.
Abdallah's workout is the amount of time of like warming up three hot pockets in the microwave. Yeah. Like, that's it. Boom.
Essentially, yeah.
12 minutes out.
Oh, that's so great.
Who am I trying to impress?
It's true. I mean, you're right about that. You got it made in the shade is what you got. All right, coming up next, Connor, I want you to fill us all in. Could the worst thing for baseball happen at 5 o'clock tonight? We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so around 5 o'clock today, we're going to find out who is in for baseball's Hall of Fame. Always a controversial topic. And Connor, what... what could happen here and what could be bad for baseball? Or maybe you don't think it would be bad for baseball.
I think what's entirely possible is this evening we will not have a 2021 Hall of Fame class. That instead, the 2021 celebration of the Hall of Fame will just be the 2020 class, which, to remind you, because it feels like forever ago, at least it does for me, Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, and Ted Simmons were the three guys inducted into the Hall of Fame for the 2020 class. There are some players that are close but have controversy around them, right? This is the ninth of 10 years that we'll be doing the Bonds and Clemens discussion. Steroids obviously marking their time and taking effect on their Hall of Fame voting. For what it's worth, Clemens has 61% of the vote going into this year. Bonds has 60.8%. You need 75 to get into the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling is close, but he's a curious case because he's offended a lot of people with his views. Right or wrong, the character clause exists in voting for the Hall of Fame. Personally, I would take the character clause out, but it's there, and a lot of Hall of Fame voters have, I'm sure you've seen this storyline, Sylvie, a lot of Hall of Fame voters have inquired about getting their votes back because of what Curt Schilling has said since the votes got issued. We're seeing some bumps for guys from one year to this, from last year to this, Helton, Rowland, Andrew Jones, Billy Wagner, Gary Sheffield, all of those coming up about 18 to 30% for some. And then you got first-timers on the ballot this year as well. And as much of a reason as you could have no one in the class of 2021 is because of what the first-time list looks like. It's Mark Burley, it's A.J. Burnett, Michael Kadire, Dan Heron, LaTroy Hawkins, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Aramis Ramirez, Nicky the Swish, Shane Victorino, and Barry Zito are all on the first-time, are all first-time eligible. And so far, the public ballots have three guys that are even close to that 5%. That's Burley with about 8, Torrey Hunter with about 5, and Tim Hudson with about 4%. It's not an overwhelming Hall of Fame class. And for an organization, a museum, really, which is what the Hall of Fame is in my estimation, that should chronicle the past of the game and should inform every baseball fan who visits what these players did, said, and how they played, it's ludicrous to me that guys like Bonds and Clemens and even Schilling aren't going to get in, I think, in this season, and may never get in some cases. And we're going to sit around and our conversation around America's pastime and about the Hall of Fame is going to revolve around tweets instead of play. Our conversation is going to, it's going to revolve around some people doing, some people involved in performance-enhancing drugs getting in and others not. I hate that we're driving this wedge in between celebrating the game and the players that played it. I hate that we're in this spot right now with the Hall of Fame as the voting exists. In this class, unfortunately, these 11 first-timers don't have a guy on that list. I mean, forget like Jeter or Griffey. They don't have a guy who's going to hop over 65% and make you excited for the next year. And I think that sucks. I really think that sucks.
Amen. What you just said is so true. It's always been my take that this is a museum, and please tell the story. You know, I used to joke with Waddle all the time that they didn't keep the bad dinosaurs out of the field museum, right? If this dinosaur ate other dinosaurs, they put them up there and they told you that that dinosaur ate other dinosaurs. Tell the damn story. Barry Bonds was a 30-and-30 player in Pittsburgh. He was one of the most dynamic players with his defense and with his power and with his speed and five tools. But then he you know, was always surrounded with the PED scandal, and he did this while that happened in San Francisco. Tell the story, and here's what I want to know, Connor. This is what I would like guys like you and Len Casper and the smart baseball guys on our radio station to answer me as a baseball fan, as baseball was my first love growing up. I want to know why baseball hates baseball. Why does baseball hate baseball? Baseball hates its past. They refused to tell the story about the past. Now they're embarrassed about Sammy. Why the hell are you embarrassed about Sammy? Why can't Sammy go to Wrigley Field, Tom Ricketts? Why are you embarrassed about your past? Why is Roger Clemens banned? Why is Barry Bonds banned? Why do you hate your past? Why do you hate your future? Why do you hate the current rules and you want to change the game with everything? Baseball hates baseball. There's nothing about the game that it likes anymore. It hates its past. It hates its future. And here we are again on a day, like you said eloquently, should be a day to celebrate baseball. And we're going to come out maybe at 5 when we're going to announce this and say, guess who made it? Nobody again.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was doing before I came in here for the show, before I took another ride share that nearly cost me my life? I was watching the celebration of Hank Aaron's life on MLB Network. And Sylvie, I'll be darned, I mean, truly, since I woke up and heard the news last Friday, I've been emotional about Hank Aaron's passing. I really have. And I have no right, really, to that emotion, in so much as I never watched him play live. I was never a Braves fan. I never met the man. I've met a few people who have met the man. That's as close as I get to Hank Aaron. And yet, I think baseball fans everywhere understand that you get emotional about Hank Aaron. You get emotional about where baseball was at, where the country was at. You get emotional about what that man fought through, overcame, and lived with, and succeeded in spite of. It's so easy to take a look at that man's life and what he accomplished in the game, and everyone else around the game celebrating that same thing, and think we should do this more often as baseball fans.
Right. Celebrate.
We should find the things in this game that make it special, that make it stand out, and that bring people to it.
And, well, and Connor, not only when you get emotional, even though you haven't watched him, it's because what he had to go through in the 60s and 70s mm-hmm. is what several people still have to go through in 2021.
Absolutely.
That's the real world thing about this. So, and we've had Jason Hayward on, and he's talked about mm-hmm. that, the Players Alliance. Let me sneak Riles in. He's always been a big supporter of ESPN 1000. Riles and Gridley, you're on ESPN 1000. Riles, say hi to Connor McKnight.
Hey, Connor, welcome aboard.
What up, bro?
Bulldog, good talking to you again. Now, you guys know that I'm a big, I don't know if Connor knows, but Sylvie certainly knows I'm a big baseball fan. I'm a National League guy. I'm a Cardinal fan. Sylvie's a big Cub fan. And what you just said, Sylvie, about baseball hating baseball, if the National League goes along, if they go universal designated hitter, I'm out. I'm done. It's too big of a part of the game to me, the strategy of it. You can help your own team so much if you happen to be a good hitting pitcher, or if you can even bunt. They're changing it too dramatically. And why I hate, or I don't hate, I still love the game, but what I don't like about the game now is the three outcome strategy. Walk, home run, or strikeout. Get back to playing the game the way it was originally meant to be played. I don't like the way that Bryant hits all or nothing. So that's just my take on it. And did I hear, ESPN, are you guys getting the Sox back? Is that
yes, this is your new home for the White Sox for 2021 and beyond. Connor will be doing White Sox pre and post, and he'll be doing play-by-play. Len Casper left the Cubs TV booth. He's in our radio booth now doing the play-by-play.
Wow.
You talk about Benetti on TV, and you talk about Len and DJ and Connor.
Wow.
Yeah, come on now.
Everybody Connor. Else. I mean, all those other names. Absolutely.
Riles, thank you. Appreciate the call. I don't totally dismiss what he says. A lot of people are making comments in the Twitch chat. Theo has admitted himself. It's sort of like he created the monster, you know, about these true outcomes. And it's a good conversation for the 5 o'clock hour when this comes out. We could expand on it a little bit more. And I want your take on it because I want this week, too, also to be a get-to-know Connor McKnight for those who don't. And we can learn more about you here.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to find out 5 o'clock that probably no one gets into the Hall of Fame. And I'll let you know exactly why baseball can't be played the way it used to be played anymore. All right. Simple answer to it.
That's good. I can't wait for that. Waddle's World is coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Let's get weird.
Let's get weird.
This is Waddle's World here on Waddle and Sylvie. Waddle's World is brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, Chicago's banks. To find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank, visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. I am not Tom Waddle. I'm Connor McKnight. I'm not the Waddle you deserve.
See how this goes.
I'm just the Waddle you needed right now.
We'll see
right.
How this round of Waddle's World goes, and maybe Chris and I'll be doing it again tomorrow. I think you'll be fine. Can you read? Hold on. Can you read? Okay, maybe.
Kind of shotgun a beer.
I'm a little bit. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, actually, that was a forte of mine back in the day.
Oh, wait, Abdallah.
We
need to get this done. Can we get Connor?
Yeah,
on
there's beer in the fridge.
I'm not as good as I once was. But I'm as I ever was.
How about 5 o'clock hour when the Hall of Fame class comes out?
All right.
You shotgun a beer.
If Burley gets in, I'll shotgun two.
No. Okay. Oh, two. Good.
If Burley gets in, you got to do the Stone Cold thing where you smash them.
If Burley
them
gets
over
in, we drink everything we've got in the offices, right? That's what happens.
Yeah. Isn't that what Burley was doing coming out of the bullpen in Houston?
That's the story. He had had a beer. Probably more.
No one has a beer. Come on.
Probably more.
Who's having a beer? There was a 4-hour, there was like a 5-hour game.
You guys have all met
Mark
Burley.
I had a beer.
You guys have all met Mark Burley.
And
you have any idea how hard it is to find him in between beers one and two?
Exactly.
That window is so, of course he had more than one beer.
Yeah.
He didn't have the spikes. He had to go get them. The whole thing. The man's a legend.
He's
an absolute legend.
One of the most likable baseball players in this town.
One of my favorite days working the White Sox pre and post game job at the old shop was Burley's jersey, his number retirement ceremony. It was a day and a half, man. Like, just the excitement, the energy everywhere. Everybody's so happy to see that, like, favorite son come back. And then everybody else that he brought to the park was really as a fun day. Man.
Here's what I want
really,
to do with you
day.
Before Friday, okay? Let's pick a day and let's do the crossover players that even though you're a Sox fan and I'm a Cubs fan,
sure,
that we would have loved to have on our team.
Okay?
Like the likable, I don't know how we would define it, but the guys who, even though I'm a Cubs fan, and I'm not a Sox hater, and I don't know how you are with the Cubs, if you're but I don't root for both. I'm not like this two-way baseball fan.
Sure.
But I am not a hater, and there are several players that I've admired and looked up to in Sox uniforms, Burley being one of them.
So I think I know where we're headed with this. My brother is a huge Cubs fan, and he always says it this way. He's like, I hate this guy, but for all the right reasons. So I think that's what we're looking for, right? The players we hate, but for all the right reasons. Because if they were on your squad, you'd be very happy about things.
Okay, if you want to do it, like, I disliked AJ, but I would want AJ on my team like that.
So did everybody in baseball.
I never disliked Paul Konerko, and I would want Paul Konerko on
my
team.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, maybe we got to retool a little bit. Well, we got till Friday.
Okay.
We got till Friday.
We'll do this coming up here. But I take away from Waddle's World right now.
Not at all. This is actually, I just saw the story as I was stepping into the studio, and it is absolutely crazy. The boys had seen it. Chris and Adam had. You know, Caris LeVert got traded about, what, like 2 weeks ago, Nets to the Pacers. It was a 4-team trade. Caris LeVert when you get traded in the NBA, you go through the medical thing. The medical screen caught a cancerous mass on his kidney.
Oh, wow.
He's now expected to make a full recovery after undergoing surgery from removing cancer on his kidney. This is something that he never would have caught had he not been traded.
It's a blessing that he got traded.
It's insane. It would have got him. He didn't have any symptoms. The quote from Karras is, I didn't have any symptoms. I was playing in games, hadn't missed any games, was 100% healthy. In a way, this trade revealed what was going on in my body, so I'm definitely looking at it from that side. That's great. Could have possibly saved my life in the long run.
That's fantastic.
It's insane. It's such a great story. And Karras LeVert, I don't know if you're big NBA fans, but his ankle exploded a couple seasons ago. And the guy got right back up, and I think it was like 6 weeks later, something like that, he's back up there putting up some decent numbers for Brooklyn. I mean, he's going through a lot. And in order to catch this, he needed to be traded from one team to another, and the medical had to catch it. It's insane.
Love it, yeah.
Here's another one for you. I don't know if this qualifies for the mark of death. You know how like an NFL executive will give the... We believe in our head coach. This is our, you know, it's, and then you know he's being let go on Black Monday or something.
Right,
because it's like, this is, now you hear it. Les Snead, GM of the Los Angeles Rams, said this about Jared Goff, their quarterback. He is a Ram right now.
Ooh.
That's it.
Ooh.
That's all you got.
That is not a good endorsement,
Les,
either.
What's the status of Jared Goff? He is a Ram right now. Cool.
Well, that's where a lot of people, and Aaron Rodgers spoke today, and we could play that a little bit later. We've got, by the way, coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to one of our guys up in Green Bay, Jason Wilde. But that's where a lot of people think Aaron Rodgers could go.
Los Angeles?
Yes. And Shefty pointed out that he's got a home there, and those two would be a match made in heaven, and they're ready to win. I mean, they played the Packers in the postseason.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the same wording that McVay used after the season. He was asked about the evaluation of Goff going forward, and he said, everything is up for evaluation. He's our quarterback right now.
It's like Jared has both legs and both arms. We're really happy about that.
Both thumbs, though.
Jared ties his shoes well.
If you go to the website, it says quarterback next to his name.
It does. It says that. We haven't changed it.
Some more hot chatter real quick. Don't mean to interrupt, Waddle.
Ooh. No, not at all. Get the hot chatter out of here.
Real quick. Adam Schefter is now reporting that teams have already started reaching out to the Lions to initiate trade talks and figure out what it would take to acquire Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I would think so. And it sounds like the Lions, though, are going to let him sort of pick where he wants to go. Isn't that the way it was worded?
He deserves that. That franchise has put him through hell.
Right, that's a good parting gift.
He should be able to pick wherever he wants to go.
Thanks for 12 years.
You know what? He ought to be able to bring somebody with him, too. Not like a player, not like a wide receiver or something, but just like some equipment guy who's been there a long time and hasn't gotten a shot somewhere else. Shouldn't Matthew Stafford be like, Phil, you're coming with me. No strings attached. Phil, it's been tough for you. You hate Detroit. You've always wanted out of here. You're coming with.
I got a great massage therapist. I'm bringing him to Chicago.
He should be able to pick a guy that he frees from the hellhole that is Detroit. He should be. And I'm not talking about the city. I'm talking about the franchise. Detroit's a fine town.
The Lions.
Another baseball news here. Before we get to 5 o'clock and have baseball news, but no baseball news. JT Realmuto has signed his big money deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. 5 years, $115.5 million. It makes JT the highest paid catcher in terms of average annual value in the history of baseball. Can you name the guy who previously had that distinction?
Yeah, I saw this
earlier. The man who made the most money in a single season playing catcher in Major League Baseball.
Todd Hundley.
No, Todd Hundley paid out the most money, I think, as a catcher in Major League Baseball. I'll give you a hint. Sox fans hate this man.
Sox, Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer. With the sideburns.
I remember Joe Mauer infamous time was making fun of the Twins for taking Joe Mauer. You took Joe Mauer ahead of Mark Pryor because you couldn't afford the signing bonus, you suckers. And then the next thing you know, Mark Pryor's done and Joe Mauer's just raking.
When you realize that drafting pitchers is a really dicey proposition, maybe just take the stick.
That's a side note from that too. I've read from some of the bloggers I follow on the Cubs where that could be the one domino that needed to fall in the Wilson Contreras trade conversation.
Yes.
Where the teams who were in it for him, for Real Muto, could go and go to Contreras because he's a pretty good buy as far as salary is concerned right now.
One of the guys I like quite, you follow Matthew Trueblood. He's a baseball prospectus writer. He's in Minneapolis, so he covers a lot of Twin stuff, but he's one of the smartest guys covering the game. He's talked a lot about what Wilson Contreras may mean, how he may move, where he may be valued some. And I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, but shoot, and it's bad news for the White Sox, but the Twins ought to be, you know, kicking the tires on some of the pieces the Cubs may or may not be moving here.
Right.
Because it's a way to upgrade a spot or two in the lineup, and the Twins don't need a whole lot more. I don't know what they're doing with Nelson Cruz. The game doesn't know what they're doing with the DH spot yet, so that's still a little up in the air. But, man, that Twins offense could use just a little bit more, and there's some spots that the Cubs could probably – well, some players that they could offer to fill up some
spots.
They
want to get rid of everybody.
Sounds like they do. Mm-hmm. So we got the weird stories. We take the break. We do the weird stories.
Yep, that's right. It's all coming up next. Yep. The 3 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I am not the Waddle you deserve, just the Waddle you need for right now. It's Waddle's World here on Waddle and Sylvie. We did some sports stories earlier. We covered the big signing from the Phillies angle. JT Realmuto is going to the Phils. Caris LeVert averted a gigantic medical crisis after being traded from the Nets. They caught in his physical a cancerous mass on his kidney. They wouldn't have seen it otherwise. No way. So quite literally had his life saved by being traded away from Brooklyn. Here's the weird stories, though, the fun ones. I love this headline. This is maybe my favorite, Sylvie. Man who stole ambulance caught ordering food at Jack in the Box, police say.
Man's got to eat, right?
He has to. I just love when the headlines are like a man who stole an ambulance and ordered food at the Jack in the Box is assuredly on camera. But the headline says police say.
Right,
like we got to take their word on this.
Right,
we got allegedly footage of the guy. I promise you.
Yeah, of course. But that was he naked too? Because usually it's a naked guy stealing an ambulance, then going through.
That's a Taco Bell story, not a Jack in the Box story.
They do not discriminate restaurants, my friend.
No, they don't. That's an Arby's, sir. This is an Arby's. The heist came to an end after he was seen ordering food at a Southwest Houston Jack in the Box drive-through. According to the Houston Police Department, the ambulance was stolen while fire department first responders were out on a service call at a nearby apartment complex. Police said the man jumped in the ambulance and drove off. Officers tracked the ambulance to a fast food outlet where driver was at the drive-up ordering food with emergency lights. I assume that's the ambulance and the emergency lights on, not the food with emergency lights.
Yes.
The suspect was later arrested and taken into custody. No injuries reported. 7 tacos were killed.
Oh, wow. You know, the ambulance is a good conversion vehicle for tailgaters at Soldier Field. I see quite a few of these in the South Lot.
Really?
Yes, where guys have purchased old ambulances that I guess they don't need anymore because they upgrade the vehicle. And people buy them and then convert them with grills. And, you know, they got all the room in the back. And it's fantastic.
There was, Sylvie, I was in between my, what was it, sophomore and junior year of college. Me and a couple of friends moved up to Hayward, Wisconsin, and worked at the original Famous Dave's up there because there was a lot of money to be made. And there was this, like, salvage yard down the way that had a fire truck for sale for $200.
Oh, wow. A real fire truck?
An honest to God, I mean, this thing must have been like a 1960-something, you know, like vintage kind of fire truck. It was in awful condition, but it was, so we scraped together the 200. I mean, this was early on in the summer, right? So we're trying to scrape together tips and everything to go. We go up there. We're like, all right, we want this fire. We're ready. We were ready to go buy it for no, we had no idea what we were going to do with it. It was gone when we got there.
Oh,
they'd sold it 20 minutes beforehand.
$200 for a fire
truck? $200 for a fire truck. We
would have been like toys that cost more money than that.
It would have been great. Yes. We would have been the dogs who caught the car, though. We wouldn't know what to do with it. Or the dogs who caught their own tail. We wouldn't know what to do with it if we got it. But think of how cool that would have been. I could have been invested in it. My life would have changed. I would have been a fire truck guy.
But what's a fire truck guy, though? If you're not a fireman.
It's anything you want to be. It's anything you want him to be.
What are you doing? What would you do if you could then remodel it and restore it? What would you do with it?
Well, I feel like that. Then it turns into like a rookie of the year situation, right? Where the kids are all like, they're making their own boat, you know, and trying to, like, it's that whole love story side angle in the middle of rookie of the year. Like, the guy's pitching for the Cubs as an 11-year-old, but also building a boat with his friends so that he can, like, talk with girls or something. I feel like that's what we probably would have been doing. We would have just been putting together that.
My fire truck. You want to climb my ladder?
It would have worked really well.
Put out your
fire. What are you
going
to do, pull up to Barleycorn at 3 in the morning and be like, hey, who wants to get in?
No, man, that would, we would have gone to the Three Torches Casino up there in Hayward. We would have taken that on down 51, probably.
Who needs a ride?
Who wants to
not
hop
Not creepy
in?
At all. Not creepy.
Mm-mm, not even...
Get through stoplights that way.
Here's another one. McDonald's customer calls police because she missed breakfast due to the long drive-through line.
Oh, but they serve breakfast all day, though.
This is in England, apparently. Police in England recently shared that they received an unexpected call from a McDonald's customer. Apparently, she was very upset that the long line at the drive-through made her too late to get breakfast. Imagine being in a pandemic where you understand that everybody has to go through the drive-thru, and you're still the person that gets upset because the drive-thru line is too long?
I got to get my Egg McMuffin.
What is wrong with you?
Do you guys know the intersection of, like, Elston and Fullerton,
mm-hmm.
There?
Oh, yeah.
So they just opened a Chick-fil-A there.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And
that's my go-to Popeyes right there.
Okay, so right across the street.
It's impossible.
It's a Chick-fil-A, and they just opened it. And I drove by to go to, like, Home Depot or Target, whatever 35-year-olds do, and I got there, and the line was around the Chick-fil-A, out into the parking lot, and down the street.
For Chick-fil-A, yeah, Chicken Wars.
You can pull up to 190 North State Street and go across the street, no line,
no
wait.
That's true, right. They're not as... They're more plentiful these days, aren't they? The Chick-fil-A's, like, there was a day where we didn't have one.
Of course they are.
There's like six in the city now.
Yeah. All right. Is that good? Can we take a break?
We'll wrap it up there. That feels good for me.
All right, that's good. I like that. I know more about. I'm getting to know you, and you were nearly a fire truck guy. That's
it was so close.
Perfect.
So close.
2 minutes away. Aaron Rodgers spoke for the first time since that press conference, where a lot of people have really speculated about his future. We'll play what he had to say, and then we'll talk to our good buddy Jason Wilde. Is he leaving the Packers? That's in 2 minutes.